In the wake of Charlie Kirk's horrible murder, we talked about the young Michigan Republicans and the young Democrats of our state who signed a joint statement who said, let's tone down the rhetoric.
Yes.
Let's just talk about the issues and not get to this horrible point. And we want to talk further with these two folks. As we move forward with these topics in our politics, can we talk about it and not get to that horrible position? James Ashers, Communications Director for Michigan Young Republicans. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we have Austin Marsman, Chair of the Young Democrats of Michigan, here in studio. Good morning to you.
Hey, it's great to be back.
All right, let's get right into the issues. So-
No. Oh, come on.
Unnecessary. Jason. All right, Jason. Here we go.
My bad, sorry.
The first topic is this government shutdown. Who's to blame here? We have these workers who aren't getting paid, and they're really suffering here. Let's start with James on the phone.
Yeah, well, I first think that, you know, figuring out who to blame is always, you know, the first thing that each party wants to go, you know, first figure out what. But I can tell you who is certainly feeling the consequences of the government shutdown, and that's definitely, you know, our federal workers, our law enforcement officers, federal troops. So I think that, you know, and it's the American people. So at the end of the day, I think it's, you know, on both parties to come together and to deliver a budget for the American people. And so I think that's what the Congress needs to get back to do and get back to negotiating. I know that the Republicans have introduced a clean CR, and they've given the opposing side a couple, I think over 17 opportunities to vote for it. And so hopefully that will maybe happen today.
Austin?
Yeah, you know, I saw a statistic the other day that Congress is at a 29% approval rating, right? These are folks who are in many cases out of touch with, as James said, the needs of everyday people. Hundreds of thousands of workers right now working without pay because since October 1st, Congress hasn't been able to reach a deal on the budget. I'm optimistic that Congress can reach a deal, but it's got to be a deal that includes health care. It includes, you know, a real investment in the American people. And we're not talking about lowering taxes on the ultra wealthy. We're talking about real things that impact people. I'm optimistic we can get it done, but I think long term Congress has to change because we've been dealing with these low approval ratings of this body for forever. It seems.
I'm wondering, you know, young voters often say that they're tired of the gridlock, and I'd like to know how both of you think, you know, this kind of political dysfunction shapes the way that your generation is going to view government. I mean, it's going. Are they looking at it as something that's working for them, or something that's constantly letting them down? James?
Yeah, so I'm constantly at the doors, and I was just knocking some doors yesterday, and a voter told me that she just cannot stand the state of politics and where it's at today. You know, the politics of 15 years ago is not the one that we're living in now. And I think that it really brings up a great point about gridlock. You know, like, you want to play politics, do that on another bill. But what you don't do is hold the American people hostage and shut down the government for, and I'm doing quotations in my hands right now, a legislative priority, which is over $2 billion for illegal immigrants. You don't shut down the government. You don't take away federal payment for our workers. You don't take away payment from our law enforcement officers. You know, 17 times in the past, Chuck Schumer, I'm sorry, that's 13 times, Chuck Schumer in the past during the Biden administration has voted for the same continuous resolution. The Republicans did not shut down the government because we wanted to have something in a bill passed. So I think that we need to get, you know, I absolutely agree. And, you know, not the answer to the gridlock isn't, you know, Republicans this or Democrats this. But, you know, there is some truth to be spoken, and I do think we need to call a spade a spade.
Let's be clear here, though. It's not just a legislative priority. We're talking about people's health care. At the end of the day, this is people's health care. This is real people with their health care, not just a legislative priority.
Okay.
I mean, these aren't, you know, American voters. You know, these are, I think that's what we need to make sure that if we're going to be focusing on something like that, it needs to be make sure that it's not $2 billion for illegal immigrants or continuing the subsidies for, you know, over a million illegal immigrants that were let into our country in the last 4 years.
The Affordable Care Act. I know so many people who benefit from the Affordable Care Act. Not illegal immigrants, real people down the street, family members, friends. Healthcare is personal to a lot of people. So I think that's disingenuous, but we can continue.
All right. Let's just do one more topic here with the time we have. What about the rhetoric when it comes to some of these AI tweets dropping things on American cities or the AG in Virginia and those horrible comments? What do young people think of all of that? Let's start with Austin because you haven't gone first yet.
Sure. It's a weird world that we live in. You know, the AI stuff. I saw that video and, you know, someday kids are going to be reading about that in the history books about what that did, you know, broader speaking. But I think it's important to emphasize we all love America, right? I would like to think that the president loves America. I would like to think that the attorney general, as bad as his comments were, or the candidate for attorney general, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think he loves America too. But we do have to do better. Like I said, when I was back here, it sucks right now. Mm-hmm. And people need to separate the wheat from the chaff and go out and talk to their neighbors.
Quickly, James.
Yeah, I think that we need to tone down the rhetoric in our country on both sides. I think that we've gotten to where we are today because of money on both sides of politics has led our leaders to get away from servant leadership. And I've always told people there's a difference between a public servant and a politician. As for the things that were said in Virginia, I firmly believe that J. Joe needs to drop out. I think that's the appropriate thing to do when you have something so horrible. I just don't think that his words can be kind of looked over as just a moment. You know, he's talked about wanting to see his opponent's wife hold their dead children in his hands.
Yeah, I mean,
in her hands. That's just not a
horrendous, horrendous stuff. I have a question for you, James. We got to get to break here. Can you stay for the next segment?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do that. We'll come back with these two at 8:05. Welcome back to JR Morning on a Tuesday of Victory Tuesday.
Victory.
After a big Lions win, of course.
Down the field.
Thank you, Lloyd. We're continuing our discussion here, trying to have a substantive discussion between a young Republican and a young Democrat here in our state. And I want to continue discussion with James Asher. I sort of had to cut you off for timing here on our radio program, but we were talking about the rhetoric in terms of the AG candidate in Virginia, about this Republican group chat and some horrible things we've seen there. What are your thoughts as a young person when you see all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we really just do have to come back to seeing first our fellow neighbors as Americans and not Republicans and Democrats. I think, you know, to answer your first question, how do we dial down the overall rhetoric in our country? I think that's where we start. I think it comes with, love and learning and realizing that we need to serve our neighbors, and hopefully that type of leadership will come back. And then to, again, just reiterate that that's how the overall rhetoric in our country can be dialed down. However, you know, when a leader and a public servant shows us who they are, just like with the YR group chats that were leaked, and just like with what happened with Jay Jones in Virginia, we need to hold them accountable as Republicans and Democrats, not just say that was a bad moment, but we need to come out firmly and take some courage and conviction and say that Jay Jones must drop out. Anyone that talks anti-Semitic marks has no place serving in our politics. No place that wants to see someone's children die for a legislative change has no place in our politics. These are the standards that we can set in place. I guess to answer the question simply, if we want to tone down the rhetoric, we need to start holding that type of behavior accountable.
At the ballot box, that's what you think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, at the ballot box, but also parties have a distinct role that they can play. I mean, at any time, the Virginia Democrats can come out and say that they want Jay Jones to drop out. Any time, Abigail Spanberger can say that she wants him to drop out. I think that saying that that's an unfortunate comment or saying that it's up to the voters, I think a situation like this calls for much more than just that.
The No Kings protest over the weekend, it sparked some debate over executive power and the perception that American democracy is being overshadowed by individual political personalities. How do you both interpret this movement, and does it reflect something deeper about frustration with leadership in both parties?
You know, I was out there. I was in Wyandotte downriver and part of a huge crowd. There were 7 million people nationally. And I said this earlier, but we all love America. You saw a nonviolent protest, people out there making their voices heard on issues that matter to them. But I think what needs to come of that is the leaders need to see, you know, that protest be out in it, right? I saw a few members of Congress out at protests. I saw some elected leaders. We move forward by not calling our fellow Americans terrorists, but, you know, listening to their concerns.
James?
I couldn't agree more with Austin on that. I think that we do move forward when we, you know, stop the name calling and we start seeing people as humans again. Absolutely. And as far as the protest, you know, certainly there's a lot of messaging at those protests I didn't agree with, but I will say this. I think that it's great that people are exercising the, you know, the freedom of speech. That's what you know, when Biden was in office, there would be Republican protests. You know, I think that it is it's completely natural and expected during any administration to have the opposing side have things that they're not happy about. I mean, that's just good old American politics. And so I'm happy that people were out there expressing their views. I will say that I feel like President Trump has a mandate to do a lot of the things that he's doing. I think that, you know, I've seen a meme floating around that a lot of the Republicans are sharing, saying, you know, our No Kings protest was last November. And, you know, as funny as that is, it is very true. This is the first time in a long time a Republican has won the popular vote. He's won all swing states. And so a lot of the things I feel like President Trump has a mandate to do. And yeah, so I, again, agree. Happy people are sharing their value, sharing their opinions and their values. And I hope everyone continues speaking up because, like this conversation, this is how we move our country forward.
Yeah, and James, I saw something also. Yes, at the election, President Trump won by a lot. But once in office, people are feeling he's overstepping in some ways, moving toward a direction they don't like. And that's why they were out there. Could both things be true?
I'm certainly sure that that can be true. I've door knocked and I've talked to voters who have said, you know, a couple that have said they've not been the most happy with some of the things that President Trump has done. You know, that absolutely could be true. I will say personally, you know, just from driving down West Inch, I hate to say it, I would say a lot of the people that I saw probably already voted or didn't like Trump to begin with. So I don't know how many new people he's getting over to his anti-Trump side, because I feel like, you know, we've been in dealing with Trump politics for almost 15 years now. That's hard to believe. Mm. But I think that people know who Trump is. They've already had their opinions on him for quite a long time. I really don't think that there's a large group of people out there that are making these rallies any bigger than they would have been during a rally during his first administration. I mean, I remember the plenty of protests and marches during his first administration. Every time those happened, the media said, this is one of the largest rallies and stuff we've ever seen. So I think it's just Americans expressing their views. I don't necessarily think that it shows a certain direction the country wants to go, in my opinion.
Rest assured they are out there. I talked to a few on Saturday out in Wyandotte. You know, a veteran and an older woman as well. But people don't care about a mandate, right, when we're talking about the price of gas, the price of food, the price of rent. And I think you're seeing a lot of people who have reached that boiling point.
And one more item I have to ask you guys about, the National Guard in cities. And we're seeing more National Guard deployments in cities dealing with unrest. And, you know, when people see troops in the streets in American cities, it can send a powerful message, you know, one way or another. But is it necessary, though, to maintain order? James?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the president has the authority to do what he's done. I think I just saw read yesterday that there was a Ninth Circuit Court, or I mean, one of the courts that had ruled in his favor, saying that he has that authority. You know, I think that we're in Michigan. I think Detroit is safe. I don't think that there's a need for, you know, the National Guard there. But in some larger cities like Chicago, where crime is, you can't walk down the street without, you know, being afraid that something might happen. I absolutely think that this is what the American people voted for. And we voted for a crackdown on crime. We voted for a crackdown on illegal immigration. We voted for, you know, the lower gas prices. These are all the things. And so, again, to reiterate, I do think that we voted for a mandate. And okay. to bring just one point to Austin's thing is, you know, gas prices are going down. They're across the country. They're all averaging under $3, which is the first time since 2021. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
we have a lot of oil, lots of supply out there. Austin, last,
wrap it up.
Last word.
Still an affordability crisis at the end of the day. So, you know, gas might be down, but people still are having trouble making ends meet. I just want to say that, like James said, we do have to come together. We do have to recognize that people are our neighbors. When it comes to the National Guard, obviously hope they don't come to Detroit. We're here now. They're unnecessary. And was it crime or was it the fact that there's Democratic governors? I think we're going to see this come out more in the courts, and nobody wants National Guard rolling down their streets. So,
all right. Well, I think this was a very substantive, nice discussion between
Absolutely.
James Ashers, Communications Director for the Michigan Young Republicans, and Austin Marsman, Chair of the Young Democrats of Michigan. You guys are the future, and it was a joy listening to you both.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Thank you guys for having us.
Let's do it again. How about?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say.
I'd love to.
All right, great.
Yeah, thank hope you're doing well.
Thank you. Oh, awesome. That's nice. They're asking about each other. Look at that. It can be done.
It can be.
Oh, coming up, we're going to give away $1,000. I'll give you the keyword, 819.